Today on The Journey.
God loves you too much to allow you to walk through this life with blind spots. They will impact you. They will impact others. And so He sends wake-up calls.
What you don't know can hurt you. And what your heart can't see, even with eyes wide open, can spiritually destroy. With that in mind, today, Ron Moore tests your vision and ignites your heart for God. Also, to help stoke your spiritual fire, we want to send you a copy of Ron's book, Ignite. In it, you'll discover a step-by-step journey that leads to a heart ignited by grace. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more details later in the broadcast. Now here's Ron with the message, Igniting a Blinded Heart on the Journey.
Every person has a physical blind spot. Do you think, maybe, every person has a spiritual blind spot? Something that at a certain point in their life, certain circumstance, they just can't see. It's there. And everyone else sees it. And everyone else talks about you not seeing it. But you just can't see it. A spiritual blind spot. For some of you, it may be a character flaw. Clicking on all cylinders in your spiritual life, things are going great, but there's just this one area, and it's been going on in your life so long, you don't even think about it any longer. Maybe for some of you, it's an attitude. You have a critical spirit, and so whatever's going on in life, you can take it south like that. Maybe for you, it's dealing in spiritual disciplines. You're reading the Bible every day, you're praying every day, but when it comes to money, you haven't tithed in your entire life. And so when we do a sermon on money, you don't come. That's why we don't tell you what sermon we're going to do next time. Today we want to ask God to open our eyes to help us see our blind spots. Areas of our life that we're just flat missing. We're involved in the series of sermons we've titled Ignite, and our prayer during this series is that God would ignite our hearts with a burning passion to follow hard after Him. And we selected a man from the Old Testament to lead us through this study. His name is David, King David. And we chose David because we knew this. He was a man whose heart burned for God. He was a man who followed hard after God, but he was also a man who was not perfect. And we're going to see today that David had serious blind spots. And here's what we're going to find. God ignites the blinded heart with a wake-up call. Now, if you catch your blind spot before that, and if you confess it, and then if you deal with it, all the better. But if you don't, God loves you too much to allow you to walk through this life with blind spots. They will impact you. They will impact others. They will impact your family. They will impact your friends. They will impact the church. And He won't let it happen. And so He sends wake-up calls. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 1, the war between the house of Saul and the house of David lasted a long time. David grew stronger and stronger while the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Sons were born to David in Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon, his second Chileab, his third Absalom, the fourth Adonijah, the fifth Shephatiah, the sixth Ithream. God is blessing him with these sons. Great times going on in his life. Oh, but I forgot to include something in those verses. Let's look through them again. His firstborn, Amnon, the son of Ahinoam of Jezreel. And the second, Chileab, the son of Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. And the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. And the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital. And the sixth, Ithream, the son of David's wife, Eglah. Six sons, six different wives. 7.5 years David was in Hebron, surrounded by great blessing. He took on six wives. David, what were you thinking? The writer makes no judgment or criticism here, but he's going to let the consequences speak for themselves. You see David's blind spot? In the midst of great success, God is blessing in all these other areas, and that keeps us blinded to some things. But David has this huge area of disobedience. You say, Ron, come on, man, this is the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, everybody had a bunch of wives. That's the classic line for a blind spot. That's the classic line for rationalizing our sin. Everybody's doing it, so that must make it right. Our kids tell us that, don't they? There's this co-ed sleepover, and everybody's going to be there. No, not everybody. Because you're not going to get to go. If everybody's doing it, does that make it right? If every king in the Old Testament did it, does that make it right? Turn back to Genesis chapter 2. So David would have known that for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Genesis 2, the end of verse 20. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib that he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." And then the next verse is where marriage is instituted. It's a parenthesis. Moses is looking back, and he says, because of that, this is why we do what we do. This is why we have a marriage ceremony. This is why we're serious about this particular truth of Scripture. This verse is here in Genesis. It's repeated by Christ in the Gospels. It's repeated by Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, just in case we miss it. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, singular, and they will become one flesh. The man and the wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. You see, from the very beginning, God said one man and one woman and one flesh. That's my plan and that's my institution of marriage. Only six generations existed from Adam until the time polygamy entered the scene. It was never God's plan. David's blind spot in his life was regarding the institution of marriage. One man, one woman, one flesh. And because he didn't hold to that, because David never nailed down that truth of Scripture, because David never nailed down that sexual commitment, got him in a lot of trouble. Here's what happens. If you don't deal with it, and God allows it to go for a while, you are an accident waiting to happen. Because sooner or later, there are going to be some very overt and ugly circumstances if you refuse to deal with your blind spots. It happened to David in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Verse 1, in the spring, at the time when the kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army, and they destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. David's by himself. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. And the man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And then David sent the messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. She had just purified herself from her uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." If you don't deal with your blind spots, whether it's sexual area or any other area, you are an accident waiting to happen. David's blind spot just got bigger and bigger. So after a while, he just wasn't satisfied with marrying a lot of women, having a lot of concubines. He chose to steal from another man. You know the rest of the story? Uriah is with the men at the battlefield, and David calls him back, and David says, "Uriah, it's great to have you back. How's it going on the battlefield? Tell me a little bit about it. And Uriah, while you're here, why don't you just go home and enjoy your very beautiful wife?" Thinking that their union, they would think, produced the child. But when David wakes up the next morning, Uriah is on the steps of the palace. Uriah says, "How could I go back home and enjoy the comfort of my bed when my fighting brothers, when they're in their tents out on the ground, I'm not going to enjoy such a pleasure when they're out there." So David, this man after God's own heart, gets Uriah drunk, thinking that in his drunken stupor, he'll go home and lie with his wife, and they'll think the child was produced by them, but Uriah again won't go home. So David's last resort is this. He sends a letter to Joab, the commander of the army. He says, "I want you to put Uriah on the front lines where the battle is the fiercest. And when the battle reaches its apex, when it is the fiercest, I want you to withdraw everyone else except Uriah. I just want to make sure Uriah is killed in the battle." And he writes it down, and he seals it with his king's seal with wax, and he gives it to Uriah, and Uriah, like a good soldier, takes his death warrant and hands it to Joab. And that's exactly what happens. The men retreat, Uriah stays, and he's killed. David marries Uriah's widow, and the baby is born, and still David's not dealing with anything. Never deals with his sin. Remember, blind spot, she just let go. Until one day God sends him a wake-up call. Look at chapter 12. I want to read this story. Nathan the prophet's going to come, but Nathan knows better than just to go to David and say, "David, why did you do that?" Because David has such a blind spot, Nathan has to tell a story to get David's emotion engaged in his sin. Look at the story. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "David, I got this story for you. There were two men in a certain town, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it. It grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now, a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took that little ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man, and he prepared it for the one who had come to him." And look at verse 5. David burned with anger. Because we always see in others, don't we, our own blind spots. And we hate it in others. David burned with anger, and he said, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." And then Nathan sends his wake-up call. "Hey, David, time out. You are the man. It's you, David. And because you have done such a terrible thing, there are going to be consequences, David. The baby born to you is going to die. Don't ever think that God approves of your blind spots because there is blessing in other areas of your life. Don't ever think that God turns a blind eye to your blind spots because there's success in other areas of your life. Don't ever think He's going to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I won't count that one against you. That was one of your blind spots. Excuse me for even bringing it up. My son didn't come to die for that one. That was your blind spot." We're going to be held responsible for blatant sins, and we're going to be held responsible for blind spots. You know, the sad part of David's story, this man after God's own heart, because of the blind spots in his life, he enjoyed blessing and success for such a short time. If you look at chapter 13 through the rest of 2 Samuel, man, there are consequences all over. There's jealousy among his sons. The sons kill each other. There's rape within his family. And it's all because of the consequence of his sin. One more thing before we look at some application. If you don't deal with your blind spots, if I don't deal with my blind spots, we're going to pass them on to our children. And they'll get to live another generation as accidents getting ready to happen. It was Solomon who succeeded David as king. And if you'll turn over to 1 Kings, the next book over, chapter 11, he had inherited blind spots. Look at verse 1. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women. And then if you go down to verse 4, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. Two things there. David passed on his blind spots to his children. And even though David's heart was fully devoted to God, even though he was seeing great success, even though he was a man after God's own heart, his blind spots brought tremendous consequence to himself and to his family. God ignites the blinded heart with wake-up calls. Well, let me give you some things to do to deal with these blind spots, because you're saying, "Well, I'd like to deal with them, but I can't see them. They're blind spots." Four things. First, before the severe wake-up call that may not be all that pleasant, ask God to show you your blind spots. Psalm 139, this can be your prayer. "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Better, "make known my heart. Test me, examine me, and make known my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any offensive way in me that I'm missing. And lead me in the way everlasting." That's our prayer. "Search me, O God, shine your light on my heart. Because there are some dark areas and some blind spots I don't see. And make them known to me. I want to know what they are so I can deal with them. See if there's any offensive way in me. Not for more knowledge, but for confession and change." Secondly, read God's Word. Why do you need to be in God's Word? One reason, so that God will help you see your blind spots. You cannot read God's Word and miss Him speaking directly to you regarding your blind spots unless you're reading the same passage every day. Now, some people do that. They read their favorite passage every day. Branch out. That's why reading through Scripture, I believe, is so important. Move over to other places, because it could be that there's a blind spot there. Psalm 19, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And look at verse 12. Who can discern his errors? I miss my own. They're blind spots. I can see them in other people, but who can discern his own errors? Forgive me my hidden faults, my blind spots. And then keep your servant from willful sin. May they not rule over me. See what the psalmist is saying? Keep me from willful sin. Okay, I know I'm doing that. But keep me from those hidden faults too, those blind areas. And show me what they are, because I can't see them myself. See, when you read through Scripture, God's going to use His Word to point them out. Number 3, get involved in a church community. Get involved with other people who will look at you in the eye and say, you are messed up. I love you, but you've got some problems. You don't even see you have these problems. Let me tell you what you don't see. Let me tell you how your words impact other people. Let me tell you how critical your attitude always is. One time, please, glass half full, not half empty again. Are you in a group like that? Because if you're not, who's going to tell you? One more thing. Be receptive when God sends a Nathan to point out your blind spots. Now, all of us get a little defensive in these areas. Let me say it this way. I get a little defensive in these areas. And so our first thing is say, well, time out. You're coming to me with all your problems before you tell me. Let me tell you. Pretty bad attitude, isn't it? Be receptive when God sends a Nathan to point out your blind spots. You see, there's a time, Scripture says, to speak, and there's a time to be silent. And you need to be quiet. God, an imperfect person, is speaking to me, but let their words be yours. And let me know what my blind spots are. And my natural inclination is going to be to respond and defend, but I don't want to do that here. I just want to listen. Because as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next time together. But first, a brief look at his motivating book, Ignite. There, Ron leads you step by step on a spiritual journey to a heart ignited by grace. Along the way, he reveals God's purpose in your stresses, pain, and tough times. By matching today's struggles with King David's tumultuous life, Ron paints a vivid picture of God meeting you wherever you are. He assures you that God is using your loneliness, brokenness, disappointment, and emptiness to fan the flames of faith in your heart. Ignite can be yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a look at our next broadcast.
I want you to think of a great dream that you have. It's something that in your life you want to do so badly you can taste it. It's something that you want to accomplish. It's something that you want to happen. And sometimes I dream something and I forget about it the next day, but sometimes there's a dream that comes back the next day. And man, it gets exciting to dream dreams. We all dream dreams, don't we? It's invigorating. It's exciting. I mean, you can be alive, but if you're really living, your heart beats with dreams. So let me ask you a question. You have that dream?
What if God says no?
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And we invite you to order a copy of Ron's book, Ignite, to help fan the flames of faith in your heart. Ignite is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. By the way, if you miss any of the messages in this series, you'll find them on the front page of our website at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.